for the accomplishments that we have made, for the things that we needed to do that we did in the beginning. We thank you for your help. We're thankful for the church that meets here in this place. Father, help us to do your will. Help us, Father, to be a light to the community, and Father, may we bring souls unto you through your word. Thank you so much for Jesus, who came into the world, died on the cross, and gave us the word that we have. Help us, Father, in our lives to strive to be more like him every day. Father, we pray for those that are sick. We pray that, Father, if you'll minister to them through the doctors and nurses in such a way that they can regain their health. We pray, Father, especially for those that are recovered.
Amen.
We pray for Jason. We pray for Michael. We pray for Layla. Father, all the others that have been mentioned here this day. Help them, Father, to also receive their help in such a way that they can gain their normal walks in this life. Thank you so much for the country in which we live. Thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy. Thank you for the bounty that we have. We pray for this country, Father, for its being attacked by those that are not looking to you for guidance and for help, but are trying to guide us through man's wisdom. Father, we pray that we as Christians, and that we that believe in you and love you and care for you and look forward to serving you, can overcome through this time. Father, help us to always be a country that looks up to you for our help and guidance. Father, in our lives we realize that we're not perfect by any means. And you've taught us, Father, that we need to strive to be like you would have us to be. Father, we're sorry that we fail you. We ask you for strength to overcome our weaknesses. And Father, help us to stand justified in your sight. We ask you to forgive us of our sins. Father, we're grateful so much for the men and women that protect us. For those that are in the armed services, for our policemen, our firemen, first responders. We ask you to bless them, Father, and help us to encourage them to do a good job, and Father, we can only thank for their service, for helping us at time to time. For those of our number that are out traveling, Father, we ask you to give them safe passage home. And Father, in our journey in this life, we ask you to always be with us, and that we always look to you for our guidance. Bless Brother Robert as he brings our lesson today. Help us to be attentive. Help us to take the good things into our hearts and live it out in our lives. Bless us as we now worship you. In Christ we ask you to be with you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much for your thought of prayer about our sermon and now about our singing. Number 216.
Brethren, please sing along with me. 216. Good to see you today. With Tom being out last week, they're filling in over at Tunica. And with being out today on the travel and everything, which I knew already, but that came up quickly last weekend and I was able to be of help to it. Really good to see you all and have you all here. Mike, it may be the first time you've heard me lead singing. And it's good to have you in the house today, everything, and sing along with you. Good to be with y'all. 216. Here we are, the straying pilgrims here, our path is lost and dim, but to cheer us on our journey still, we sing this wayside hymn. Yonder over the roving river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of blessed giver, glad and all our longing lies. Here our feet are often weary, on the hills that run our way, here the tempest darkly gathers, but our hearts within us say, yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions lie, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. Here our souls are often fearful of the pilgrim's lurking foe, but the Lord is our defender, and he tells us we may know. Yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. You're the same page, 215, please. Let's sing the first, second stanza of this song, and then the chorus at the close. It's the same tune to it, and it's good to get that thought in front of us first, and then the chorus. My life, my love, I give to thee, thou Lamb of God, who died for me. Oh, may I ever faithful be, my Savior and my God. I now believe thou dost receive, for thou hast died that I might live. And now henceforth I'll trust in thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me, my Savior and my God. 220. I bring my sins to thee, the sins I cannot count, that all may cleansed be in thy once open fount. I bring them, Savior, all to thee, the burden is too great for me, the burden is great for me. I bring my grief to thee, the grief I cannot tell. No words shall need it be, thou knowest all things well.
Psalm number 52. Let's sing the first and second verses of this song together. Number 52. Brother Travis will have our reading this morning. By Christ redeemed, in Christ restored, we keep the Sabbath of the Word, and show the death of our dear Lord until He come. His body given in our stead is seen in this memorial bread, and as we drink we see the blood until He
reading this morning, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, This cup is a new testament in My blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until He come.
I know that you're seeing me up this way. I just happen to be on response to the things of the needs of our service today and everything. And just to add extra, I'm up here all the time. I don't rule this church. I don't do it. I'm glad to serve in whatever capability I can. And I know that you, as you obey the gospel and hear and everything, you'll serve to the ability that you can and as long as you can for good time. Would you please turn to your songbook number 714, What Will Your Answer Be? Will be the invitation song in just a few minutes. And turn back to 685 as our song before the lesson today. Mark 714 is the invitation song. Sing with me now, 685. I wander far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming. I'm on the side.
coming home, never more to roam. Oh, but why thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home.
I know that some of you are new to my making this statement. That's why I make this statement about it. Each Sunday before the service time comes up during the course of the week, I select songs that apply to the lesson that I'm going to preach on that particular day. I'm about 6 weeks ahead of time in preparation for the sermons coming up. And that gives me the opportunity to have a lot of privilege to see illustrations and examples and verses of the Bible and stories that I would use to illustrate with during the time that I'm not yet preaching that sermon. And it's a good thing to be doing. And I've enjoyed that way of life. I'm never at a loss. My one who taught me, mentor who taught me to preach and everything, Brother Paul Sparks, who passed away a few years ago, he and his wife Bo, I did not know that she wanted me to do her funeral service when she passed away. But she did a couple of years before he did. And I got to see Paul and sing with him up there at Spring Hill, Tennessee, before he passed away. And along with Bruce Payton, I went to visit him there and enjoyed a visit with Paul at that time. But it was good to him have me teach me. He said, Robert always preached to needs. Whatever people in the audience need. If you know about them, you know of a need that they have. If you don't know, you can pick one of the needs that God says. He's got 66 books in the Bible that meets the needs of people. 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. And he said those things meet the needs of people. Choose one of the texts there and preach from it, and you'll find that you always have an interesting audience. You always have an enjoyable type of audience because you're speaking to things that they know and that they size up to be a problem that they want to overcome. So it's good to be with you today and have you a part of this service and even the songs that I selected for today. A few of them of which I'm sure that we possibly never have sung, but they are songs that are easy to sing and easily learned, and we'll use them again as we get onto our night next week as we have our third Sunday night singing and our time of potluck together. We'll have an enjoyable time on that occasion. What about these particular songs? Person in sin, wandered far away from God. The idea of being close back to God, brought back to God. The ideas that we have sung about today are songs that deal with where we are in life. And where we are in life is where God does not wish us always to be. God wants us to venture to analyze where we are. Even Christians who find themselves partaking of the Lord's Supper and enjoying the relationship with the Father and the Son in regard to this matter of the body and the blood of Christ being broken and shed for me, they find themselves reflecting upon that time. And Paul says, examine yourselves, and so let you eat of this bread and drink of this fruit of the vine. So we're to examine ourselves even as servants of God. We find ourselves examining where I am and what I'm doing. Do I recognize this Lord as I should in my ways of life? So it is that we are a God of heaven who wants us, before we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, he wants us to come out in regard to examining where we are in relationship to him. In the book of Romans, we want to talk about some of these things today. In Romans, in chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Indeed, we have a system of things where if we examine ourselves, we'll be people who reach out to others and help others in the right way that we should go. And so it is the effort today for us all to help others in their lives as we speak regarding where we are in our relationship with God. In Romans chapter 12, he begins this particular thought. An exhortation to Christian living is given in Romans 12, beginning at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Notice how we are to be people who analyze what we're doing as we go through this life. If we find ourselves doing that, we'll be people who beseech by God to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, sacrifice is a dichotomy word. Sacrifice is a death that's offering, that is given. A person does not linger on in more. But in this, it's a living sacrifice, meaning that I live by way of the sacrifice that I now offer. I sacrifice my choice to sin. I sacrifice my choice to speak in a rough way. I sacrifice my choice to live lifestyle in a rough way. The neighbors around see a difference in my life. They see a change in my life. It's the idea of a change that we would have to accept because we want to be people who present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. God wants there to be a holy way of looking at the life. And a holy way of looking at life tells us we ought not to get so infuriated by somebody who passes us on the highway, nor should we get infuriated by passing someone else on the highway that's going too slow in our judgment. We should not be mean-spirited of any kind. We should be people who honestly go about life in a holy and acceptable manner. Presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice is just the beginning of it. And as I find myself offering this way of life, I find a way of real hope that I offer to others. They'll ask me a question about this. They'll find that I'm living this way of life, and it's obvious that I'm living in a way that's holy and acceptable and purified. And they'll ask about why the change took place in your life. And instead of saying, well, I'm just realized this was the wrong thing to do, and I made my plans to make changes in life, and it's all on me. Pat me on the back for the changes I've made. We, instead of doing that route, we say, I got back in the good book, and I realized what God would have me to say, and to do, and to think, and how to behave. Because I got back to what God said do, I quit my dishonest ways of life. I quit my discourtesy way of life. I quit my telling others falsehoods and to build myself up. I know of some young people that have gone off to college or far away, thought nobody would be there to know. Suddenly they were the star football players back home. Suddenly they were the star of the community. Surely they were people who were so well accepted that they hated to leave them, hated to see them go. The truth of the matter was only found out when someone came to visit and found that person was so now well thought of there on campus by what they told about their lives that it was unrecognizable. Kind of reminds me of the funny about the family that was sitting at a funeral service. The father was in the casket and the wife was there. And the mother turned to the little boy and said, son, would you go up there and look in the casket and make sure that that's your daddy that's there? It sounded so different than the man that she knew and the man that she talked about. Well, when we find ourselves doing those kind of ways of life, they'll be found out. And instead of living that way of life and having an apologetic way at best, or certainly an embarrassed way to say at the least, we find ourselves enjoying a relationship of who we are, where we are, what we're doing. And God will bless that. He says His strength is often seen in the weakness of man. When we find ourselves looking up and thinking of God and asking Him in prayer to be with our decision making and our activities of life, we can enjoy seeing that take place. Notice what He says here in Romans 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change your mind. Break it a new thought that you have in mind about how important it is to be honest and dependable and pure in heart and patient in life and a wonderful example to others, and invite others to come and be a part of that knowledge and that way of God's will. When I tell you verses of the Bible, I tell you because you can read them, you can see them, you can recognize the context of them and the definition of those words. I've looked back in the old text of the Bible and found that the original meanings of those words are applied right here. You can do the same thing. On the internet now, you can go to the Blue Book Bible and you can find them right there on the page. What a wonderful blessing it is to have this kind of mind within us, that we may prove, we prove this to be a way of life that's good. The good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is right there in front of us with what we're saying and what we're doing and how we're acting. It's right there in front of us. We don't have to be ashamed of that. And we have to be people who love and enjoy that. Our Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, beginning verse 28, invited us to that way of life. He says, come. We need to be people who listen to Him. And come unto me, all ye that labor. Before this way of life of changing my mind and everything, I'm laboring and heavy laden. I'm going to have falsehoods be found out, and I'll be dishonored. I'm going to have a way of life that is unholy, and I'm going to be dishonored. I'll have a way of life by which I miss the picture of good things. But come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Matthew 11, beginning verse 28. Take my yoke upon you. Yes, there's a yoke to be borne. Yes, there's a need, but it's a double yoke. I'm not just walking this life alone. I'm not out here visiting people and I'm not in our future knocking on doors. I'm not out here alone knocking on a door. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek, Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Compared to the things I'll suffer if I tell falsehoods and live in a false way, if I'm unholy in my way of life and the ways of dishonesty and sin that I do, I'll have some accountability even here on earth for it. I'll find myself avoiding those things. I won't be burdened with those type of things. Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, which we've done today. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy. Linking up with Jesus and obeying Him and being the person He would have us to be, that's easy. And my burden is light. The burden that Jesus puts on us to be givers as we give to the work of the Lord is light. It's not heavy. It's a way of proving our love, Paul writes in the Corinthian letter. It's a way of establishing our relationship with God. What does He want us to do? He wants us to listen to Him and follow Him. Last week, we were in studies up at Freed Hardeman all week long in regard to the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. And that was a passage found that I noted there that, oh, this matches up with things I'm going to preach on Sunday morning. It's in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10, where God says to Moses, "You go now, you go to the Pharaoh, you go and deliver my people out of Egypt." What did Moses have to do in order to please God and to be the servant of God that he wished to be? He needed to go. He needed to go to Egypt. He needed to go to Pharaoh. He needed to tell him indestructible ways of life that he could avoid if he would but listen to the God of heaven, whom I serve. And he could have reunion. And he could let the children of Israel go. So it is in your life, the call that God has to you. What are you doing in this way of life to please the cause of God? I trust that it is coming unto him. I trust it is presenting your body a living sacrifice. Because only then will we be as Moses was, going to Egypt, to Pharaoh, and telling him he could avoid the plagues and conflicts if he would listen to the God of heaven and let the children of Israel go. But he said, "Who is the Lord God that I should obey his voice?" That was the only reply of Pharaoh to him. Who is the Lord? Who is this Lord you're talking about that I must obey his voice? 10 plagues later, he found himself on his knees saying, "Let those people go." Only to change his mind once they were temporarily out of sight and pursue them with an army, with powerful horses and chariots, and get them and drive them back here. How successful was he? His soldiers were drowned in the midst of the sea. Jesus in Mark 2 says to a group of people who say to him, "How is it possible for you to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee'?" Jesus said, "What is more difficult to say to this man, filled with palsy, unable to walk? What is more difficult to say to him? Your sins be forgiven you, or rise up and walk? Which is easier?" Well, of course, in their worldly way, they said words are the easiest thing for you to say. So when you say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," that's just you saying it. Nobody can see that, and everything is just their way, that way. Jesus then answered to them, knowing their minds about it. He said, "But so that you may know that the Son of God, the Son of Man, has power on earth to forgive sin, I say to the sick of palsy, take up thy bed and walk." And he did. God intended for us to follow him and obey him. Would you begin today to present your body a living sacrifice? Would you begin today to frequently come to him and enjoy the relationship with Jesus that he said you can have? "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Would you stand together with me now and sing number 714?
"Someday you'll stand at the bar high, someday your record you'll sing, someday you'll answer the question of God, what will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you send your return?